Member supported Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we are welcoming back an artist that we have had on with us most Januaries, it seems, over the last few years. She is tonight on the Garden Isle at the KCC Performing Arts Center before a show tomorrow at the MAC and then Saturday at the Honoka'a People's Theater. No Honolulu area date from our pal, known for her duets with everybody from Stephen Stills to Snuffleupagus, Judy Collins. Judy, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm eager to be with you and glad to be here.
What's the story with No Honolulu this year? Is that because you're going to come back and do Extra Love next year or something like that?
Oh, sure. That is certainly a possibility.
Give the shows a plug.
I have new songs plus some of the classics with my wonderful musical director, Russell Walden. Mm. We'll do everything from Both Sides Now and Someday Soon and Send in the Clowns to my brand new song, which is called The Dreamer's Song, about the DACA situation. And I hope that it will be inspiring as well as entertaining.
Let's hear about that new song.
Well, I think that we here in this country have a responsibility to our history, which is that we're all dreamers. We all came here from someplace else. And of course, many people come to the States to get away from terror and crime and murder and have been welcomed over the centuries. So I heard a daughter of an immigrant who was a dreamer talk about this a couple years ago. And I wrote the song and began singing it this past year. And I've made a recording of it, which is available on most of the platforms. And it'll be on my next album, which is called Resist. And I hope it will inspire people.
That's a nice sentiment, especially considering that unless you are Native American, virtually everybody else is an immigrant in the United
States.
Yeah,
that's right. And I'm not even so sure about the American Indians. I think they came across the Strait.
But we'll give them credit on original ownership, certainly over the rest
absolutely.
Of the
Absolutely. Over the rest of us, absolutely.
Yeah. Another great facet of your life recently has been this renaissance of working with Stephen. Stephen Stills, we're talking about, is a person that you have a magical connection with for a very, very long time. And to have this happen at this point in your life, kind of like, I guess, Jerry Brown coming back to be governor of California or something. But take us back.
Yeah.
Take us back to the beginning, because I know people will love to hear first meeting him and how you developed this relationship.
Well, Stephen and I met in 1968. I was doing an album out there called Who Knows Where the Time Goes with my producer, David Anderley, who said to me, well, I'd like to get a new band for you. So I sent my old band home, and he brought on a whole bunch of new players. He brought Buddy Emmons and James Burton, and he brought on Van Dyke Parks, who wrote many songs with Brian Wilson. Mm. He brought on a bass player named Chris Etheridge, who at that point was playing with the Flying Burrito Brothers. And then in walked Stephen Stills, and we hit it off immediately and had an affair which lasted, I always say the rumors lasted longer than the affair, but we also remained friends over the years. So we've been friends for 50 years, and we recently, a couple of years ago, decided we'd take a crack at going out together. We always knew we enjoyed and sang music together very well, and so we figured we had a pretty good chance of doing it okay on stage, and we've just completed 115 shows in a year and a half. We toured all over the country, all over the U.S. We didn't come to Hawaii, unfortunately, but we've had a wonderful time, made a new album, and it has been a wonderful experience.
When you guys do that live thing, and as you said, it didn't come to Hawaii, so I don't know exactly what's in the set list, but Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, a song that he wrote for you, about you, you guys don't tackle that together, or do you?
Oh, yes, we do. We had such a good time. We don't do the whole song, but we do it from the middle right on to the end.
Wow.
And we do it as an ending for the show. So it's very exciting. It's particularly nice for me because I never got to sing it before.
Right. Did you, when that first happened, I mean, to have somebody, a lot of folks could have a song written about them. Then the song becomes a massive hit or whatever, a cultural landmark. That's another story. But when did you first realize that you were going to have this tune about you?
Well, it was the first time I heard it. He had written it between the end of the summer of 68 and about the beginning of October, maybe, because we had to go back into the studio and record a drum track. And between the end of the summer when we'd recorded in June and the beginning of October, I think it was, he and David had met and been bonded with Graham Nash, and they'd gone down to Florida to write songs. And he came back with a whole bunch of songs, including Wooden Ships, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, and Helplessly Hoping, and et cetera. And he put them all on a secretly recorded tape in the studio when we did that drum track. I didn't know anything about it because he sent me home. I said, I'm going home. He said, I want to stay in the studio here and record a few things if you don't mind. And I said, sure. Having no clue what was on his list or on his mind, and didn't know he'd written this song. So the first time that I heard Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, he came to see me in May of 69. I came out to do a show, and we'd already sort of broken up, but we were trying to get back together, and he came to see me with flowers, and he had a guitar that he was giving me as a birthday gift, which I still have a little Martin. And then he sang me this incredible song. We were both in tears at the end of it, and I said, it's so beautiful, but it's not going to get me back. And that was it. And then, in the summer, I began to hear in New York, I began to hear Sweet Judy Blue Eyes on the radio. Well, it tore me up, I want to say. It was so upsetting, emotionally upsetting to me. First of all, I thought he'd read my journals because all of this stuff about Tuesdays and Saturdays, you know, and what have you got to lose? All this stuff because I was in therapy in New York, and my therapist didn't want me to have anything to do with Stephen Stills. I was in therapy in New York, and he didn't like therapy, and he didn't like New York. But somehow, throughout these years, we remained friends, and I used to go down, I visited him a couple times in Florida, and we'd talk and talk. He'd call me in the middle of the night or text me more lately. And we did a big show in Orlando with CSN, and Richie Havens was on that show. It's about 6 or 7 years ago now. It was just before Richie got sick and died. It was his last show, actually.
Wow.
And Stephen and I, after the show, Stephen and I sort of took a look at each other and said, why aren't we doing this? What's standing in our way? So it took another few years for us to put it together, but my manager, Catherine DePaul, said, you know, you have to do this.
Man, we just got to get it to Honolulu. I don't know what we do.
Yeah.
We got to do like a petition, online petition. How many names would it take to get
I don't know.
She's tonight, Garden Isle, KCC Performing Arts Center, tomorrow at the MAC, and Saturday, Honoka'a People's Theater. Judy Collins back with us here on the show and part of All Things Considered for yet another January. We appreciate it, and have a good run of dates, and hopefully the next time around we will be finding you in Honolulu.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the call, and we'll talk to you soon.